Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All things belong to God. We heard David, King David, confess that in beautiful words of that psalm at the end of 1 Chronicles in the first lesson today. He said, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all." Now, if all things in heaven and on earth belong to the Lord, then it follows that we don't actually own anything. We are stewards of God's possessions, managers of God's wealth. And if God is truly exalted as head over all, then it is God and His divine right. It is His divine right that makes us stewards of His possessions and directs us as stewards of His possessions how to use the possessions He's placed into our hands. It's His divine right to give us those directions, and it's our solemn obligation to follow His directions if we confess that He is head over all. We often think of stewardship, the management of God's possessions, in relation to the offerings that we give in church, the offerings that are used to support the ministry and the ministers of the Word. And that's part of it, but that's not at all of it. God also commands us to use His possessions to provide for other things, for our families, for the governing authorities of the land in which we live, and to help our neighbor in various ways. Now I ask you, how many of you, when you open up your wallet or your purse, when you pull out a dollar bill, look at that dollar bill every time and think to yourself, "I'm taking out God's dollar to use for God's purpose." Do you think that way? How often do you look at your bank account, your bank statement, and consider each deposit as a deposit of this amount of God's money into your management account? Or every withdrawal on each line item as, "This is how God's money was used for this purpose of God's." I don't always think that way. I know you don't always think that way, because there is this idolatrous flesh that lives within you and me and still worships at the altar of self, putting an offering on that altar called mammon, or money, wealth, material possessions. And while the Christian has a side that is thinking about God first, the Christian also has the side that thinks about self first and worships money and doesn't think about God as the owner of each thing that you have, that you possess, and as God as the head and the director who gets to direct you how to use every possession that you have in your management. And that's what our gospel addresses today. And let's be clear about whom it's addressing. Jesus is speaking to believers, to Christians. Now, in the gospel, when he spoke it loudly enough for those to hear who were not believers in him, for especially the Pharisees who were there and grew angry with him at what he had to say about money and serving God and mammon and this parable. But Jesus is actually addressing the sons of light, as he calls them in our text, as he calls Christians in this gospel, sons of light who need to be called to repentance on a regular basis. First, to a change of heart, and then to a change of behavior. He uses the example of an unjust steward to teach the just. That's important, and I want to repeat it. Jesus is speaking to the just, to those who are righteous before God by faith. Those who still do not acknowledge their own depravity and utter miserableness before God. Those who still do not know the mercy of Christ and look to Him for mercy and forgiveness. They can't learn a thing from Jesus about doing good or how to use money in a God-pleasing way. They are not God-pleasing people due to their unbelief. And so nothing they do can please God. A person first has to be good, and only then can a person begin to do good. And Scripture reveals that the only way for sinners, and that's everybody, the only way for sinners to be good is to receive the goodness of Christ by faith. So telling your unbelieving neighbor how to manage his goods in a better way is useless and fruitless as far as God is concerned. You might be able to help your neighbor budget his or her money better for their earthly life, and that's fine, but it's not a God-pleasing thing. It's not a God-pleasing work, because your unbelieving neighbor can't please God. Only believers in Christ can please Him. A person has to be born again of water and the Spirit in order to be a God-pleasing person. Only then can we talk about doing things that please God. Now, Jesus knows that His people need this ongoing correction because of our sinful flesh. So He tells this parable of the unjust steward. It's a unique parable. They're all unique in one way or another. This one's unique because Jesus actually uses the example of an unbeliever, of an unjust steward, to teach His people something, and even to contrast a good thing that the unbeliever did that believers should do as believers. It's a very simple parable, really. The steward of this rich man was accused of squandering, of wasting the wealth of the rich man, not managing it well. It doesn't say that he was necessarily stealing it or taking his master's possessions and using for his own sinful purposes. It just says he was wasting it, not giving proper thought to where all the money was going, of which he had been put in charge, or letting too much go to certain things while not letting enough go to other things. He was accused of this. He was called in to give an account. Then and only then did he actually become shrewd in his management. Then and only then did he start to make intelligent calculations with his master's money in the short time he had left. He started planning what to do with his master's money. He decided to use it to buy the good favor of his fellow servants, who owed money to their master also. And he thought carefully about how to reduce their debts in order to endear them to him. Not reduce them to nothing, that wouldn't be wise. Not to reduce it by too little, that wouldn't help. But by just the right amount to reduce the debt of each one. That is what his master praised. Certainly not his attitude, not his heart, not his dishonesty or his lack of integrity, but his shrewdness, the smart way he managed his master's possessions to gain friends for himself. That was smart. Jesus then contrasts the shrewdness of that unjust steward with the the laziness and the haphazard use of money that often plagues God's own people. For, he says, the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Now, that does not mean that the sons of this world are earning their way into God's favor or into heaven by their shrewdness. Not at all. Nor is it to say that believers in Christ need to earn their way into heaven or into God's favor by managing God's possessions well. Only Christ earns a person's way into heaven. And only by faith do we receive what he has earned. Best of all, the forgiveness of sins. But the believer is inspired by Jesus' words to do better, to walk in daily repentance and newness of life. The believer in Christ doesn't rely on his good use of God's possessions to get into heaven, nor does the believer in Christ despair because of his past sinful use of God's possessions. The believer in Christ strives to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, to learn from bad examples of stewardship and to correct them. That's what St. Paul was talking about in the epistle today to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. As he told them, look at all these bad examples of various examples in the Old Testament, and look how badly that turned out for them when through their idolatry or through their complaining or grumbling or through their sins, they were led away from faith and were destroyed because of it. Those, he says, are given to us as examples so that we can learn from them. We who are God's people by faith in Christ and not repeat their bad example. So what do the just learn from the unjust steward? First, to remember your vocation as a steward of God's possessions, as we've been saying. To not let Satan or your flesh drag you away to make yourself into your own God, so that you don't listen to God's instructions on how to use his possessions, because you're too busy making your own plans to bother with what God has to say. The unjust steward had forgotten his place as manager and had haphazardly managed his master's wealth. We learn from him not to do that with God's possessions. Second, the just learn from the unjust steward to plan and make intelligent calculations with God's possessions. You have in God's word his general parameters, his instructions for how to manage his possessions that he's placed in your hand. To provide for your pastor's needs and the needs of the gospel in the world. To provide for your family, your immediate family first, and then your extended family in their needs. To provide for the compensation of the governing authorities that God has placed over you in your place, in your country, in your land. To provide for your fellow believers' needs and also for your neighbor's needs in general, roughly in that order. Those are God's principles. Those are God's parameters, his instructions. He allows you to use what's left over for your enjoyment. And in order to make sure you're not just thoughtlessly and spending money here and there and everywhere without thinking about these parameters that God has given, that almost certainly requires at least some level of a budget. But how much exactly should you budget to each of these areas where God has commanded or allowed you to use your gifts, his possessions? Now there, God has not given specific commands. There, God looks for shrewdness on your part, for sound judgment, like the shrewdness shown by the unjust steward. And above all, God looks for you to plan your budget and to use His possessions with this overall guiding principle: to show bountiful love to your neighbor. To your neighbor in all of those categories that God's Word gives us instructions for. Just as Jesus said to His disciples, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." It's not that you earn your way into that everlasting home by being generous toward other people. Heaven is God's gift to those who rely on Christ and His grace and mercy. But faith is proved in the believer's life, and faith is demonstrated to those around you by the love that flows from it. And that includes the love that uses money, not in the service of self, but in the service of your neighbor. Faith alone makes you good before God. You are just by faith. So look to Christ for mercy. Believe in Him and receive His generous love here in His Word, here in His sacrament. And since you are good before God by faith in Christ, you are now able to do good things that please your Father in heaven. So let your shrewdness and your wise management of God's possessions serve as a daily thank offering to God for all His goodness to you. If the unjust steward could learn to manage his master's wealth wisely, how much more you, who are just by faith in Christ? If the unjust steward could be praised by Jesus in this parable in a temporal way, how much more won't the very children of God be praised by Him in His grace on the last day? Even as Jesus said to those on His right in His other parable, "Blessed are you by My Father. Come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the beginning of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me." What you do for those who bear the name of Christ, you do for Him. That's not what makes you children of heaven, but it is what children of heaven do. By God's grace, amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.